Praise the Lord. Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ from Myanmar Evangelical Graduate School Theology, Yangon, and my family, and the Overseas Council Austria. And it's my privilege to be here this evening to share the Word of God. And our friends said, the topic is the accept your assignment for the service of the gospel. We understand everybody has been given an assignment in such a way. If I'm a student, my responsibility is to accept the assignment from the professor. If I don't want to accept, I will fail an exam. I will get only very, very low grades. So that's why I said, accept your assignment for the service of the gospel. The theme is, service not optional, but it's the heart of the Christian life, and the pathway to the real significance. Sometimes people make excuse, I'm very busy, so I don't want, trying to adjust my time. When I have free time, I will do this one. But in the service of the gospel, no option. That's there. The heart of the Christian life is the service and his gospel. Look in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. When you read, and then Satan attempted Jesus Christ three times. The last time, what Jesus said? Worship the Lord and serve him. That's why worship and service cannot be separated. It's going together. Your worshiping God must demonstrate an action. When you read that great commandment, the first commandment is, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. This is the first commandment. The second commandment is, love your neighbor as yourself. The first commandment indicates worshiping our God with our heart. But your worship must be demonstrated in action, loving your neighbors. That is that indicates the ministry. That's when those who worship him are assigned for the service of the gospel in a variety of ways. In the context of Romans chapter 1, verses 14 to 16, I could see Paul's three I ams. You will see Paul said to the church in Rome, I am, I am, I am. And in three verses you will see three I am. Let's see verse 14. I am a debtor both to Greeks and the barbarians, and both to wise and unwise. That's verse 14. So Paul said, I am a debtor to preach the gospel. In terms of this context, I am a debtor to preach the gospel. Let's think about his life. After encountering Jesus Christ in his life, actually Paul was the persecutor of the Christians in the Bible, you see. But after encountering Jesus Christ in his life, Paul realized that how much he ought to preach the gospel to others. That's his assignment. He accepted preaching the gospel, and getting involved in the service of the gospel is assignment in his life. It's the heart of his Christian life is that getting involved in the service of the gospel. That's why he felt that I was a debtor of the gospel to preach. Even the world famous evangelist Billy Graham said once, if you have never witnessed to any unbelievers about Jesus Christ till now, examine yourself whether you have assurance of salvation or not. That means Your salvation includes service and the gospel. For the gospel, for the kingdom of God. I agree with the Billy Graham. That's why I would like to say, if I or you have no love for others, no desire to serve others, I or you should question whether Christ is really in my life or not. That means if you follow Jesus Christ, if you worship the Lord, your worship must be demonstrated in action, serving the Lord in a variety of ways. According to the Bible, every believer, according to Paul, he said, I'm a debtor to preach the gospel. Every believer is a debtor to the service of the gospel. That means that each one of us is called to get involved in the service of the gospel in a variety of ways. As your pastor introduced, I was a Buddhist monk. Yes, I was. I was a Buddhist monk before, but now I'm a Christian monk. So the Christian monk is eligible to preach the word of God in the church. Of course, Buddhist monk is not eligible to preach, because if he preach, he will preach the wrong doctrines. But I'm sure to preach the sound doctrines. Let me talk about my background a little bit so that you will understand who am I, where I came from. Even you talk about Myanmar, Obama, our military government doesn't like Burma. You know, the Burma was named by the British government. That's why we don't like. And in Burma, in our language, Myanmar, that's why we need to give our country the real name, Myanmar. That's why you can go Burma or Myanmar, we accept. But if you officially write to the government, Burma is not acceptable. Right? Myanmar. Anyway, I come from Myanmar, Obama. Our country is made up of 7 states and divisions. So I come from the Arakan state. So the Arakan state is one of the 7. And it is the western part of Burma. There are over 3 million people in the Arakan state, but the majority are the Buddhists. The second, a little bit, are the Bengali Muslims. And there are 17 townships in the Arakan state, and then I come from island. My island is one of the 17. And then the whole island, the area is almost the same as Singapore. So there are about 70,000 people living on the island. All are the Buddhists. We don't like Muslim, we don't like Hindu, we don't like Christian. If Muslim come, we kill them or stone them. There's no other ways. So if no Muslim is not allowed to come to our island. When I became a Christian and when I went to preach the gospel to the islanders, that they gave me a letter, Peter. My name is not Peter really. So after becoming Christian, I became Peter. Peter Tenyo. So my name is Tenyo. Tenyo, here's the letter. If you come next time to talk about your religion, they don't understand gospel. To talk about your religion, we are ready to kill you. This is the last warning and the first warning. So they don't like Christians. But how the islander became a Christian? It's a great interesting, a great question. Because your pastor asked that, and then it's a great question. Good question and a good answer. The islander was on the island. When he was a high school student, he was in the monastery. All other Buddhists said, so every village, at least there is one monastery. Or 2 monasteries for some villages. When I became a high school student, so I have to come to the town area because the whole island, there's only one government high school for the whole islanders. So I'm the villager, and as I came to town area and stay in the monastery and go to the high school in London. So I became the one disciple of the Buddhist monks in that time. So when I saw the life of the Buddhist monk, it was very impressive for me. I thought it was very peaceful in the life of the Buddhist monk. And I had a strong determination to become a monk after high school. But the problem is that when I finished my high school, even when we talk about high school for your context, 11, 12 grade, but for us 10 finish. So after finishing my 10th grade, I was still under the 20 years old. So to be a monk, at least I need to be, my age must be 20. So I became novice. And at the age of 20, I came to Rangoon, the Yangon, the capital city of Burma, and I became a monk. That's the first time that I saw the church and the Christians who are there and what the church means. Because there are two churches near our monastery. That the problem began with me. Never seen the churches, never seen the Christians, but the problem for the Buddhist monk, the Christian worship stand, like you are making very noisy, it's a joy to the word church we call. Dr. Aungman have been here once, our principal. So sometimes we said, God has been using two kinds of churches around the world. One is joy to the word church, one is silent church. God is using the silent church like a morning service. Very quietly they are worshipping. This is joy to the word church. So this church has two programs, joy to the word church and a silent church. So the one church near our monastery is that joy to the word church. Assemblies of God, very noisy. Making noisy. I am from Assemblies of God, but I have no denominational spirit. I'm very interdenominational Christian minister. So the joy to the word church made noisy. Playing music, singing loudly. But the problem for the Buddhist monk, playing music is sin for us. Listening to the music, that is sin for us. So I thought these Christians are fighting against the Buddhists. So the way to revenge them is fighting them again. Physically. So one day with an aggressive attitude, I went to church to fight a pastor, the monk. We are not allowed to add any violence, but we went to fight the pastor with an aggressive attitude. And I went to church to fight a pastor. But the story was different. When I met the pastor with a smiling face, and then patiently, and then gently, and then politely, he explained me the way for salvation. So instead of fighting him, I have to listen to him. I have to pay attention whether I like or not. He's very polite. He is very gentle. But this monk, who thought himself, he is holy. He is a holy man. He is a holy monk. But he, in his inside, he is ready to fight the pastor. But the Lord has been gracious to me, and instead of fighting him, we discussed together for the way for salvation. But I have a dominant spirit. I think I am superior. He is the interior. Because he's an ordinary man. I'm the holy monk. So I thought, I'm the right. He's wrong. Whatever he said, it's nothing for me. But the Holy Spirit works in my heart. After 6 months. But before 6 months, I went to him secretly very often to discuss the way for salvation. For the Buddhist monk, we are not allowed to eat food after 12 o'clock. That's another problem for me. When I secretly went to meet him, after discussion, time is over. So I missed my food very often. After discussion, when I look at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. So I missed my food. If I eat food, that is sin. That is sin for me. So for every day, every Buddhist monk has to observe 227 precepts. And in reality, 5, impossible. Even to observe 5 precepts, it's impossible. So when I realize the consequence of sin, in the Buddhism, there's no concept of the forgiveness of sin. But in the Buddhism, without the forgiveness of sin, if you die, you will be going around in the circle of rebirth, reincarnation. You may become animal, and after 2 years, and then when your parents and do something good, and then you may become, you may go to the a little higher place, and after 1 year, you may become dog, and you may be in the worst place. So we go reincarnation, circle of rebirth. But I don't want to go. The ultimate goal of the Buddhism is going to Nirvana. But the problem is that we have to go to the circle of rebirth. So when I realized I'm the sinner and that I need the Savior, Jesus Christ, another problem came to me again. If I follow Jesus Christ, how about my parents? How about the head of the monastery? How about my relatives? Because my parents, they are proud of me because they become the parents of the Buddhist monk. For them, it's a higher level in the society, being a Buddhist monk's parents. I was struggling day and night, but I asked myself, who will save you? Except Jesus, no one. In short, I accepted Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior in November 1990. The result came, I was rejected by the family. I was kicked out by the head of the monastery, and I was insulted by the relatives and the friends. But like Paul, as I realized the benefit and the real meaning of believing in Jesus Christ, the meaningful life in Christ, I feel myself I need to preach the gospel to anyone, whenever, and wherever. So from that time onward, I have a great desire to preach the gospel. As far as I remember, on the first day when I became a believer, I started preaching the gospel. The whole body becomes wet because of sweating a lot. But I want to talk whatever I know. I want to talk to others, whatever I know. And then, after 50 days, I went to Bible college. Praise the Lord, I passed my entrance exam. But I have a great desire to preach the gospel to others. So in that time, we had a little freedom to talk about the religious issues. So I went to the harbor and the railway station and go to the tea shop and then preaching the gospel. And even go to the train area. Sometimes the police came and they like, wait, don't talk too much. So I had that kind of experience. I have great desires to preach the gospel. So this experience from worshipping, because the worshipping Jesus Christ motivates me to get involved in His service. That's when worship and service cannot be separated. So that's my great desire. I need to get involved in His service. So those who worship the Lord are assigned to get involved in His service in a variety of ways. Might be the preacher, might be the evangelist, might be the school and the Bible school teacher, and maybe you can get involved in a variety of ways. But that's no option. That's a compulsory for every follower of Jesus Christ. So do you feel that you are deafer to preach the gospel? You may not bring the Bible and preach the gospel, but you can preach the gospel in a variety of ways. Praying for others, encouraging others, giving for their ministry. You can get involved in a variety of ways. And in which kind of area do you want to get involved in the service? That's not the option. That is the heart of the Christian life. So I free myself. I am a debtor to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your pastor and the Reverend Stroh introduced me, I'm the one of the faculty member of Myanmar Evangelical Graduate School of Theology. Yes. I was the one of the graduates of that seminary, and then I finished my MD in 2001. And in 2002, I was sent to Indonesia to do my MDH in missiology. That school is being supported by Overseas Council Austria. In 2003, I came back and to join to the faculty. So we have till now they are. Almost 200 graduates from our seminary. And I'm the first one from the graduate of our seminary becoming a faculty to the graduate, to our seminary. So I'm the first one. After me, and then Sanchon and Ronan and other are coming to join as the faculty. I'm also pastor at the church, but the reason that I'm standing as the one of the lecturer or the one of the faculty member at seminary, because I have a bitter experience about my family life. 2003, my wife had a minor operation at left eyes. So medical doctor give instruction, use this one. That she use every day, and then every month we have to meet the doctor, and it's okay. It seems good. Keep on using that one. And then she used a drop, and then every day. After 6 or 8 months, she said, I can't see well. And then when we went to another doctor, said 80% of her eyes was damaged. In Myanmar context, we can't complain anyone. If I cannot complain to the government, I cannot complain to the doctor. But I realized, out of having bitter experience, if the medical doctor gave wrong instructions, how many will suffer? Only one patient suffers. But if a pastor or a teacher teaches wrong doctrine, how many will suffer? The whole church will suffer. So for that kind of the experience, and an instant, we need to train the younger generations with the sound doctrine and with the sound theology, so that many Burmese Buddhists will have chance to hear the gospel in their context, so that they will understand what the gospel means. So that's why we are training the Myanmar Evangelical Graduate School of Theology standing as the best theological seminary in an evangelical wind, to train the pastors, Bible school teachers, evangelists from different denominations, so that when we train them, they can train others. So that's the main reason that I'm standing as the one of the faculty. So to train the one student, it's very cheap. For you, it's very cheap, but for our context, so a little high. To train one student, it costs only, if you want to know the how much it costs, you can ask Reverend Stroh Brooking. He knows more than I do, because his organization is supporting our seminary. But it's very cheap. So we can train them. But to train them, we need to get involved in a variety of ways. We are in the community of believers. Our needs are diverse. It's different. Your needs and mine might be different. But our responsibility is to meet the needs of one another, so that is we go accept your assignment. That's your assignment. To get involved in the ministry. When we talk about the community, I understand only 3 key points. When we talk about the community of a believer, that means first you must have commitment to Christ. Without having commitment to Christ, you are not in the real community of God. First, you need to have a commitment to Christ. The reason that you have commitment to Christ, the second is that you need to have commitment to the body of Christ. When we talk about body of Christ or community of God's people, it's not only locally, it's globally. We are in the same family. Why do we need to have commitment to the body of Christ? The reason is to have commitment to fulfill the Great Commission. So the first commitment is commitment to Christ. The second is the commitment to the body of Christ, globally and locally. The third, the commitment to the Great Commission, to fulfill the Great Commission. These are interrelated. We cannot separate. Only I have commitment to Christ, I don't get another. No. Oh, I have a commitment to the body of Christ, but if you have commitment to the body of Christ, that commitment must demonstrate an action. That means you need to accept your assignment to get involved in the service of the gospel. So, how do you feel in terms of your life? Do you feel I am a debtor to the service of the gospel? Like Paul, think about ourselves. I am a debtor to the service of the gospel. Let's see verse 15. I am not ashamed of the gospel. That was Paul's testimony and passion. He was the persecutor of the believers, followers of the gospel. But this time he said his life totally changed. Instead of persecuting, he was passionate to preach the gospel. Of course, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. In the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 20, you see, how did Peter and John respond to the authorities when they are commanded not to preach the gospel? What they said? We can but speak the things that we have seen and heard. In Burmese context, let me talk about our experience, what we are facing in the country of Burma. The military government has been ruling the country for a long time. They know how to shoot, but they know how they do not know how to rule the country. Especially they don't like Christian. There are three M's in the history of Burma. The first reason, they look at the Christianity with the three M perspective. The first M is merchant. They think this way. Why the British government occupy the country? There are three reasons. The first, they sent the merchants or the businessmen came from the Europe, and then they do their business in the country of Burma. When they realize these Burmese are very simple, and then that they call the missionary, come and do the missions. So second, missionary came. And as the missionary came, finally, the military came and occupied the country. So, first, M is merchant. Second is missionary. And the third M is the military. And then finally, through the military of the British government, they occupy the country. That's why they look at the Christianity as the new weapon of the colonialism. They suspect all the time. So when we preach the gospel, they look at it from the political issues, not only religious issues, they look at us from the political issues. When the authentic Burmese Buddhist become a believer, he is not recognized as the real Burmese. He is the traitor, or he is the follower of a Western religion. It is the situation in the country of Burma. When I became a believer, even though I came from the Buddhist background and I was born in the Buddhist family, and even though I was a Buddhist monk, when I became a believer, they do not recognize me as one of the Arkanese. I am an Arkanese. this one is not faithful to the nationality, this one is not faithful to the religion, this one is not faithful to the this and this and that. And they look at me from different perspective. When you are persecuted, when you are looked down on for the sake of Jesus Christ, how would you respond? How would you respond? Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Because for it is the power of God for those who believes. I am a pastor who was in the church. Very often the local authority came in and said to me, we do not allow you to worship in your house because we don't have church. Since 1962, in the time of General Nguyen, the government does not allow to build religious building like church. Even though we build a church, we have to say this is my house. When the military, when the local authority comes and asks, what is this? Oh, this is my house. But when church member comes, this is church. We have to say that way. If I say this is the church, stop. And then many people in my community, I started the church in 1995 among the Buddhist poor community in Yangon. They don't like me. You are a Buddhist monk before. Now when you become a Christian, how much money do you get from Krishna organization being a Christian? Many questions, and they insult me and they criticize me. But I understand. I should not be ashamed of the gospel. Because for them, it might be mock. It might be silly things. But for me, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. It's the power of God for those who believes. Are you ready? Oh, when you are persecuted for the sake of the gospel, what the Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12, when you are persecuted for being a Christian, it is a great blessing. Your country has a lot of freedom. No one will insult you because of your decision. But in our country, as Bo said, are you still Buddhist? Yes, according to my ID, I am still Buddhist. I cannot change my religion. When I go to the immigration, what is your occupation? I'm a pastor. You are a pastor? What pastor? No, you are Buddhist. How can Buddhist be a pastor? Yes, I'm a pastor, but you need to change my religion. Oh, no, we can't change. And how can a Buddhist be a pastor? Oh, we can change your occupation, businessman. Yes, I'm business for my father. My father in heaven. So I'm businessman for my father in heaven. So when you become a believer, and when we become a believer, we are persecuted and insulted in a variety of ways in the context of our country. But how should we stand? I am not ashamed of the gospel. So we should not be ashamed of the gospel. In the history, Christians are. People look at Christians in a variety of ways. They look down on the Christianity. They despise the Christians who are the followers of Jesus Christ. But how would you respond? I am not ashamed of the gospel. Can you say that? It's very difficult. But we need to stand on the promise of God. When we are persecuted, when we are insulted, how should we stand in our decision? Let's see another verse 15. How Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel. Paul said, he is ready to preach the gospel. That means for any kind of situation, he is ready to be in his service. What a passion he has. I am ready to preach the gospel. We can preach the gospel in a variety of ways. Are you worshiping the Lord every day? If you are worshiping the Lord every day, that means you must be ready to preach the gospel. You might not be preaching the gospel like this. Oh, do you know Jesus Christ? If you do know Jesus Christ, come on, I would tell you. That might be one way only. But you can preach the gospel through your life. Through your life. My mother said, when I said to my mother, Mom, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you must go to hell. My son, you are the only youngest son in my family. I have 9 children. You are the only youngest one. Don't talk about your God. Now I say, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you must go to hell. Buddha never, never, never said, if you rely on Buddha, you must go to Nirvana. Yes, I know. So if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you must go to heaven. No, you must go to hell. My son, don't worry. That's my business. I'm going there. Don't worry. Her belief. She does not know what she believes. The government doesn't like preaching the gospel now. And among the Christian community or among the Buddhist community. But if we have a heart for the gospel, there are many, many, many ways. Let me talk about my experience among the Arakanese Buddhists. As I said, I come from the western part of Burma, and I'm an Arakanese. There are different tribal groups in the country, and I'm an Arakanese. You know Aung San Suu Kyi? How many of you heard about Aung San Suu Kyi? She is the democracy leader in the country of Burma now. Some may heard about her. Her father was the independent leader of our country. When he was alive, then he went around the country and organized the people. When he arrived in Arakan state, my state, Arakanese people didn't like him. And Aung San said to the Arakanese, if you see the Arakanese and the viper, like cobra or viper at the same time, kill the Arakanese first. They are very stubborn. They are poisonous than viper and a cobra. Kill them first. So we, the Arakanese, are very stubborn. They think we are the right. We are holier. We are the right one. The rest, they are wrong. We are the right. So we are proud of ourselves and being stubborn. But the gospel is for all. The gospel is for all. And many missionaries go to our people and then they say, these people are very stubborn. Don't go. We can go to other group. Don't go to the Arakanese. These are very stubborn, very strong. But after my MTH in Indonesia, and I and my friend trying to find the ways, how should we reach our own people with the gospel? People say they are stubborn. But the gospel is for all. Okay, shall we start? And then, oh, I did bring my portal and I can show you later and then if you want to see it on Monday. So when Buddhist people worship the Lord, they use the gao. Have you ever seen when Buddhist people say ting, ting, ting 3 times, they write the gao. What it means, this is the time to pay attention to the preaching. So we start Buddhist way. It's good. The Arakanese say, oh, it's good. And I preach like a monk. And I chanting sometimes like a Buddhist monk. And then after preaching, I rain 3 times. Oh, this is the time to meditate on it. That's good. So they accept that. And the second step, we start preaching the Buddhism, not gospel. We start preaching the Buddhism. Because they say they are Buddhists, but they do not know what they believe. And I preach like a Buddhist monk and the Buddhism. And it is, why do you know about this? You say you are the Christian, but no, why do you say it about Buddhism? Listen, pay attention. And when they realize that, next day we preach the gospel and compare with the Buddhism and the Christianity. Oh, this is the one that we want. So finally, they accepted Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. They accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. But the problem in the church, among the churches in Myanmar, when one Buddhist become believer, they take them. They take the church take the believer and separate with the family, from the family, and then he becomes enemy of the family. But we find a way. When one person becomes a believer, we said, be there, be with the family, be in the community, and then discuss with your family. And then our strategy is, if the new Buddhist becomes a believer, and then he has to be quiet in the family, and then he does not claim he is a Christian. But he discussed with the family. Mom, I heard about this new. How do you think? Daddy, can you compare with the Buddhism and this message that I heard? See, it's interesting, my son. Okay, if you think it's interesting, how about this? Now he goes step by step, and finally when the family understand, okay, the family come and then we baptize them. We did mistakes. First, when we had a new convert, we take him out from the family, and then finally he cannot go to the family. He becomes blocked. But out of our experience, we have a Buddhist monk convert, and I said, don't change, be there and preach the gospel to your family. But he was very active and he changed. Finally, he cannot go back to family. But we train that way, and then when we have a new convert, we train secretly and then send them back to the family in the community and preach the gospel. Now when the community and the group becomes believer, we baptize them, and they claim that we are the follower of Jesus Christ. But when we preach that way, people criticize us. Oh, you are doing wrong ways. Many traditional Christians criticize us. But we encourage our believers all the time, be ready to preach the gospel wherever you are. What happened? Within 5 and 6 years, over 400 come to Christ, amen, from the Buddhist community. The reason that I'm talking about it, because that the existence of the qualified seminary like Max, we can train our students from the Bible as well as our experience. The reason that I'm doing my PhD is, I come from Buddhist background. Most of the Christian leaders, they come from Christian background, especially minority background. Over 95% come from the Christian background. Minority ethnic group, usually they came from the animism. But when they reach the majority, the Burmese Buddhists, it's very hard. Cross-cultural communication, it's very hard. But as I came from the Buddhist monk background, if I can train them in the Buddhist context to preach the gospel, to train the people, to make the disciples, that will be great significance to the churches and the country of Burma. So for that reason, I'm writing my dissertation. When we have a heart to serve the Lord, we should be ready to preach the gospel in a variety of ways. That's why Paul said, in the conclusion, I'd like to say, we are saved to serve God, and it's no option but the heart of our Christian life. That's why Paul said, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ to do good things, good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are saved through grace, but we should not sit around waiting for the going to heaven. We are saved to get everyone in his service. That's what we need to keep doing good things for God's kingdom through prayer, through giving, through encouraging each other, and in other words, in a variety of ways we can get involved in the ministry. That's why if you really worshiping the Lord, you need to demonstrate your worshiping spirit and action. That's assignment. Accept your assignment for the service of the gospel. Thank you so much.